This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, welcome back. We're going to have Brian Boulder be on in 1 second. Josie, I just want to ask you, when you're an athlete and you see something horrific happen on the ice,
yes,
in your case.
Yep.
How do you play after?
Yeah, the worst thing I saw in a game I was playing in was a player for Montreal named Trent McCleary. Chris Therrien took a slap shot, and he really wound up, and he hit him in the throat.
Oh!
And it happened right, I bet you, within 8 feet from where I was sitting on the bench at the time. It was right directly in front of us. The doctors saved McCleary's life because they actually had to cut open his
trachea.
Yeah, his trachea, yeah, to save his life.
Oh,
but
it was
unreal. Oh. And we had about a 30-minute delay, and then we continued on in that game. That game did not stop at that point. We continued on after that.
Like the next time a puck is flying in your
direction.
Yeah,
you do think about it.
Do you think about it?
Yeah, you do. It
How
takes
do you
a
get
little
by
while.
That?
But honestly, Ange, by the end of that game, you know, obviously your thoughts are with the player that's been injured, but you didn't play the game thinking you were going to get hit by it. Like, it's just, instinctually, you just go and you do what you're supposed to do.
But here's where we as fans, we're conditioned to worry about them getting hit in the head now.
Yeah.
Because the concussion issue.
Yeah, and you
CTE,
see it.
CTE, all
still
that.
Happens too much.
And then it hits you in the chest and you go, oh my God, your heart might stop if you get hit the wrong way.
Yes.
And that's what happened. And now you go, oh, my God. Now you have a parent out there, and your kid is playing youth football.
Yeah.
Is he still playing youth football? Nobody thinks about it, but you get reminded of it on national television.
I would say that there's people that have those concerns and don't allow their kids to play.
I am one of those parents.
All right.
I have two
and
sons.
And what do you say to them?
I have told my sons from a very young age, you can play many sports, but you will not be allowed to play football.
It makes sense to me what you're doing.
Out of that
On
chance.
The line with us is a man who is brilliant at breaking all this stuff down. Our Odyssey insider, the great Brian Baldinger. Hi, Brian.
Good morning, Angelo.
All right, Brian, give us your reaction to what happened to DeMar Hamlin last night.
Well, it's the scariest thing I've ever seen on a football field, Angelo. I've been around a long time, like a lot of us. I've never seen anything like that. We kind of know what it is now, and so we have a better idea, but nobody knew at the time. And as a player, you do exactly what the players did. You rally. You make executive decisions like they did, and then you just, you know, you prayer up, and you just hope for the very best. And that it gets it. You know, it looked like the NFL did their job as far as, you know, is responding as quickly as they did. And, you know, administering the CPR and everything that was necessary to revive him. And then we just got to, you know, hope for the best here. But I've never seen anything like it, Angelo. I've been in a situation where players got hurt, like even like Josh Sweat on Sunday. And, you know, when guys aren't moving and you're not sure what's going on, it's just a scary, scary feeling to everybody.
But, Brian, how hard is it to go out and play the next game knowing what happened?
Well, I mean, I've been out there and said, not like last night. But it's hard. It's hard to get your mind back on, especially if, you know, you see players, you know, getting strapped into a, you know, a gurney and that could be you. It could be your best friend. It could be anything. It's hard. It's hard to flush that out and go out and play. And I think they did the right thing last night by halting the game and then suspending the game, period. I don't think anybody could have, you know, the coaches made the decision. But I think everybody was in agreement that they did the right thing in that moment.
No doubt. And here's what, Brian, I am so puzzled by the way the Eagles played that game against New Orleans that I literally have asked Brandon Graham and Nick Sirianni this morning if what happened to Josh Sweat might have affected the way they played that game. Is it possible? I have no other logical way to understand what they were doing on the field on Sunday.
Well, I don't either, Angelo. I mean, I was, like, perplexed. I don't think it had anything to do with it. I mean, because the defense still played well. You know, and offensively, I didn't understand the game plan. We have seen this in spurts before, Angelo, where they just completely abandoned the run. They've got a 1,200-yard rusher in the backfield that has destroyed the New Orleans Saints in the last two times he's played them. And they've had no answer for him last year or the year before. And I just don't understand how you, with your all-pro right tackle out and with the backup quarterback in who can't run the same offense and do the same things as your starting quarterback can, why you would come out throwing the football like they did. And to see him get hit as much as he did in the first quarter and a half of the game was just, it was shocking to me.
Hey, Brian, here's the thing. And I think you made this point in what was a brilliant analysis of that game plan. Did they game plan as if Hurts was still the quarterback?
That's what it looked like, Angelo, which is, you know, which is really puzzling, right?
Yeah.
We all know that, you know, Jalen has one skill set and Minshew has another. We all know that on any level of football. But it did appear like we're going to run, you know, like even on the third and one, you know, after they actually ran the ball twice and they run a read option at Cam Jordan. Like, that's Jalen Hurts. that's your go-to play where you go, wait a second, that's not Jalen Hurts, you know, trying to dodge Cam Jordan right there, one of the best players in the league. Like, it did appear like that. Like, we'll just run the same offense, you know, that Jalen Hurts is. And that's, I know Nick would, you know, would shoot that all down, but you can't help but think that.
No, I was grilling him, Brian, on the fourth and one. Right, the quarterback sneak, which they telegraph because they think they can do it. Yeah, if Hurts has got the ball in his hands, the way he bowls through the line is one thing. Minshew, they throw around like a rag doll. And what Sirianni said this morning is, oh, I would call the exact same play. Well, you can't if it's a different guy with the ball in his hands, right?
Jalen Hurts, he deadlifts 600 pounds.
Yes, I mean, exactly.
To his body weight. Like, there's a big difference physically. There's a reason why Jalen is almost, you know, 100% on their little, you know, short yardage play they've been running all year. But I wouldn't expect – I mean, there's quarterbacks in this league that never quarterback sneak because they're not good at it. Tom Brady happens to be great at it. But, like, not a lot of guys do it. Aaron Rodgers doesn't do it. But – yes, I would grill him too, Angelo. I'm glad you did.
Well, here's a and now I'm trying to look at the big picture, and I'm going, well, why have the Eagles regressed? Even before these two losses, Brian, they were not playing their best football. What's happened? Take me through the way they've evolved in the last month away from the things that got them the great record to begin with.
Well, I mean, you know, you're talking about the Chicago game, obviously. I mean, the Giants, they kind of blew them out.
Yeah.
Tennessee was one of those games where, you know, in that game, Miles Sanders had three carries in the first half against a depleted Tennessee team. We saw that in the playoff game last year, Angelo, where they went down to Tampa and they said, oh, we can't run against Vita Vea and Dominican Sue inside. We'll throw the ball. You know, it was a disaster. You know, it was one of the worst playoff games I've ever seen in my life. Like, I just wonder sometimes, you know, I remember talking to Shane Steichen in the summer, and, you know, I was asking him, you know, what the offense might look like. And he goes, well, it could change a lot week to week, Baldy. We have a really athletic, talented offense line. We can run it, but we got really good wide receivers, and we can throw it. And I don't know if they know right now exactly what they're great at doing. And by, you know, week 18, you should know exactly what you're good at. I mean, the Giants know what they're good at right now. They've really developed. Jacksonville knows what they're really good at, and they're playing to those strengths. And I feel like the Eagles are still kind of wondering what they're good at, to be honest with you. We know they can throw the deep ball to A.J. Brown, and they can probably get the ball to Devontae at times pretty well, pretty regularly. But I'm not sure if they know exactly what runs they want to run, what they can count on right now, what protections that really work well. When they should go empty, I'm not sure that they know.
Well, here's the thing. We knew what it was a year ago when they went to the playoffs. They ran the ball extremely well. Yep. Why would I think they're not still good at that, except they've abandoned it? That's what I don't understand, Brian.
Well, I mean, that's why I posted what I did yesterday.
Yeah.
Because to me, you know, they came out in the second half. They've done this before now. And they ran the ball right down their throats. And if, you know, if they don't get a lousy call on Landon Dickerson, you know, Gainwell goes 28 yards for a touchdown, and they're right back in the game. And so, you know, like, I'm sure that, I don't know, maybe Kelsey, you know, some of these guys might have stepped up at halftime and said, listen, coach, stop this nonsense. Like, let's just pound the ball at these guys, all right? They're not all world up front, and that's what they did.
Yeah.
And so I just wonder why, you know, I always, I mean, Bill Belichick used to say, I'm not saying that he's the creator of this game, but he said if you wait till halftime to make adjustments, you waited too long. And I kind of feel like you go four straight three and outs, you know, and you've established nothing except get your quarterback hit, and you wonder why he's bouncing the ball off the carpet, and he's scrambling, and he's just running around like a, you know, with a chicken cut off, with, you know, with his head cut off in a pocket. It's because these, all these quarterbacks are the same, Angelo. You get hit early in these games, like, they're going to get – I mean, they're going to try to do everything they can to get the ball out of their hands before they get hit again.
Baldy, you are a treasure to this town because you're a truth teller and you know the game. Can't thank you enough for this. I love it. Thanks, yep. Brian.
All right, you got it, Angelo.
Brian Baldy with some great straight truths about what's going on.
Angelo, I'll tell you what, and this is what so many people aren't realizing. Jalen Hurts has been so good that he, looking at this last game, has been masking game plans and lack of adjustments by the coaching staff.
More than ever, he is your MVP. More than ever. And now, if you want more tough talk, we have a man who did the game Sunday, Evil Merrill Weiss. Hi, Evil Merrill.
Hi, Edge. I'm livid.
Talk to me. What are you unhappy about?
That's an absolute disgrace. I took this as a personal assault. This was as poorly conceived a game plan as I've ever seen. The Saints last in the league at stopping the run. What was the Eagles' game plan? Pass the ball with a quarterback with a candy arm. What the hell is that, Angelo?
This is even stronger than Baldy. Give me more, Evil Merrill.
And where was Miles Sanders? Can anyone tell me? When you have a Ferrari, why would you take the bus?
Why the bus, Jonesy?
Not sure.
Did that offensive line practice at all during the week, or were they out singing Christmas carols again? They should stop singing and start blocking. I'm getting word now the offensive line's next song is going to be Jump by Van Halen.
That's another thing. All the false starts, Rhea.
Disgraceful performance. You know, they give Emmys for great performances.
Yep.
They should have gotten an enema for this one.
Jonesy, an enema.
I've had a cup.
The bad news is Jonesy just had his.
Yes. What's the bad news, Evil Merrill?
The bad news is they played like ass. The good news is they took second place in the comics division of the Mummers on Sunday.
All right. Clearly, Evil Merrill, you are taking this loss hard.
Angelo, if I didn't know any better, I'd think the Eagles were tanking on purpose just to get you to retire sooner.
Don't rule it out. Did you hear A.J. Brown after the game? He threw Minshew onto the bus.
Yes, he threw Minshew, and Minshew tried to throw Brown under the bus and was picked off.
It got picked off, Jones.
Interception.
If I were Gardner Minshew, I'd shave the mustache and hope nobody recognizes me.
All right, do you understand Minshew is hoping to get a starting job next season?
The only contract he's going to get next year is with a cell phone contract with Verizon Wireless. Can you hear me now?
I think he just said, you suck, Gardner.
I'm sick, Angelo. I don't deserve this. I'm 80 years old. I'm profiled this month in Philadelphia Magazine. For Christ's sakes, I'm a celebrity.
He's a celebrity, Jonesy.
Yes, he is.
I plan to go to next week's game against the Giants and do it with my feet up on the table and Mike Quick feeding me grapes.
That now, makes sense.
But now we've got to work like the season depends on it. Speaking of depends, I know you're retiring soon. I found a great price on adult underpants. I'll email you later.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm wearing them right now. Thank you, Evil Merrill. You may not know this, Jonesy, but I've relieved myself twice already
I've
in that segment alone.
I've heard the noises.
See Joe Cochran's comedy show.
Me out of here.
Make a lot of sense.
Teresa Krellinger and Dennis Horan at St. Dennis in Harvardtown this Saturday, January 7th. For tickets, go joeconklin.com. When we come back, who's on the hot seat? WIP Sports Time, 9:17. All right, welcome back at 9:25. I want you to know what's going on behind the scenes because it's troubling. All right, it's very, very troubling. Cindy Webster's here today. She is our consultant, and mm-hmm. she is a brilliant PR person. She does not ever feel comfortable when somebody is getting verbally attacked.
Yes.
Which really raises questions about how she's been affiliated for this show so long.
Exactly.
And she's lobbying me. In the final segment, I was going to finally get some joy into this day mm-hmm. by trashing Carson Wentz.
Wentz sucks.
Who had an unfortunate game on Sunday
terrible.
In Washington.
Yeah, it sounds delightful.
It ruined the season, and they were chanting for Heineke. And she's showing me pictures he put out of what a fun year he's had with his family.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you the truth. His kids are adorable. Jonesy, did you look at those photos?
I did.
Yeah. Am I going to be able to trash the dad of those beautiful children?
Yes, you will.
And his wife seems very nice.
Yeah. They're nice people.
And
you can
they
still
seem
trash
like
them.
Very. They're in Disney World. They're doing all these fun things.
They can do
things.
A lot of different things with that $130 million
he's getting. That's right. All right. See, I need... Jonesy, for the next few minutes, remind me about the $130
million.
That should make it easier for us. Anyway, Dan Wilson is here, and I believe he has a hot seat today.
That's correct. The local football team has their first losing streak of the season, which means they are going on the hot seat.
Today, our beloved birds are on the hot seat. Brought to you by Xfinity and the Xfinity X1 Lounge. Congratulations to the Eagles. They managed to make a season once known for boring blowout victories into something interesting, as they're now on the verge of not only blowing the NFC's only first-round bye, but the three-game lead they had in the NFC East entering Christmas Eve in Dallas. But as frustrating as losing to the Cowboys was, the Eagles had a chance to make everyone forget about it come New Year's Day. However, if you ask Ross Tucker, it seemed like the Eagles players may have overlooked New Orleans.
I don't know anyone that thought the Saints were going to win or picked them to win, and it almost felt like consciously or subconsciously the Eagles felt that way, like they felt like they could just go out there and win, and they didn't have to earn it.
But it wasn't just the players in this case who seemed unprepared for Sunday. How about a Nick Sirianni-led coaching staff who had one of their worst games of the season?
You know, we didn't coach good enough on offense. We didn't put the guys in position to make enough plays, and we didn't execute. It's always going to come down to that. And you know, it's always, but you always got to look at yourself in the mirror first. Obviously, there's going to be calls that we want back.
While I applaud Nick Sirianni for his self-awareness, it shouldn't take hindsight from him or Shane Steichen to realize that Jalen Hurts' game plan for Gardner Minshew wasn't going to work. Also, hiding Miles Sanders against one of the worst run defenses in football seems like a bold strategy, to say the least. At the end of the day, the Birds still control their own destiny. However, if they squander this final opportunity on Sunday against the Giants, there's going to be more where this came from.
The Eagles go 1-2-3 and out, and for the first time in a long time, we hear that low, hollow sound.
Hot seat.
All right. There's one thing I would have added to that, Danny. Nice job overall. You really put him on the griddle. But I would have somehow incorporated the Van Halen's tong jump. Because we just got word earlier in the show, ladies and gentlemen, that the Eagles offensive line has a bonus cut on their new Christmas album.
No.
It's called
Don't do that.
Jump.
Don't do that.
I've been knowing
right.
to do
That's
it.
That's not nice.
Rhea, do we know, is it 4, 5, 6? We are currently working on a art piece.
Really?
Incorporating Jump and all the calls against the offensive line.
You think it'll be a piece of art?
I believe we're striving not for commerce in that one, Rhea, but for art.
Okay, let me know how that works out.
Thank you, Danny. Keep working on that. I need more from on Jump. I really like Jump. And I like music in the hot seat. It's just me. I enjoy music.
Okay.
We used to be a music station. I like to bring us back to our roots. On the line with us, I hope he's fulminating, Jonesy.
Me too.
I hope he is foaming at the mouth. Kenny from the Dirty 30. Hi, Kenny.
I've been foaming since the week before the Dallas game.
Ooh.
Because there are too many people, including many of the hosts and producers, Joe Wechter, of the WIP, that were taking the Dallas game lightly, saying that, well, that game doesn't mean anything. You got to beat the Saints for the draft pick. Assuming that we were going to win games.
Yes.
Ignoring the football gods who, when you start assuming things, will strike you down. That Dallas game, and I'm not even saying that Dallas game, the game on Christmas, it didn't matter who we were playing, should have been played like a playoff game when you sell out everything to win that game, and then everybody would have had a month off to rest. But they took that one easy, they lost the game, and then everybody assumed that we were just going to beat the Saints. It was arrogance across the board with the coaches, with the players, with the trainers, with the general manager, with the fans, with the media, with so many people that work at your station. God, last week when you guys were away, some of those hosts had their heads up their rear ends. They took it lightly. They assumed we were going to win the game, and this is what we get. Now we have to play our starters. Now they don't get 3 or 4 weeks off. Now they only get 1 week off, and we have a chance of taking this great season and blowing it because of arrogance. Arrogance. We haven't won jack you-know-what, and we were acting like we did. That is why that game on Christmas meant everything. You should have locked it up then, and the rest of it would have been Merrill getting fed grapes. But now it's not, and this is what you get. And you host last week, you know who you are. You can shove it up your you-know-what, because this is why you were wrong. And I'm sick of arrogance in Philadelphia. Sick of it.
Kenny, beautifully said as always. That's why you're a champion on this show. And I would like to make a statement about the hosts who have been downplaying this dip in the Eagles situation.
Did you say dip?
Dip, slump, call it what you will. It's reached the point now where I'm starting to miss myself.
What?
I'll turn the radio on and I'll hear some really lackluster commentary. And I'll go, where's Cataldi? Then I'll realize... Mm-hmm. I look in the mirror, and there I am, Jonesy.
And Jonesy?
The man behind you. He's taking over your show.
The guy standing behind me whispers in my ear, get back on the air, jackass. And I go, I'm retiring soon. And he goes, good luck with that.
Maybe sooner.
You know, if you want to, all right, I'm going to do the math here just for a second, because if the Eagles were to lose Sunday, Johnson, if the Eagles lose Sunday,
right, they play the following weekend.
The fifth week, the fifth seed.
Correct.
They're on the road for the first round of the playoffs the following week.
Likely in Tampa Bay.
I could be in my final 2 weeks of radio.
Yes.
I could be done, Rhea, in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Don't let the Eagles know that. They might take the option.
Rhea, did you hear the sadness in Rhea's voice? Okay.
I'm still going to text you relentlessly
I know you're
during
going to text
games because you're the only one that takes the commentary I take in the way I'm presented.
Rhea, if I could offer you one tip on making it a little better, more profanity, please.
It's charming.
There are a couple of words there. I wasn't sure what they meant. Let's go to Tom at Sea Isle. Hi, Tommy.
Angelo, Kenny took the words right out of my mouth. I am so freaking mad about this game that they played Sunday. I don't know what this coach, he better grow up and learn how to be a coach. How do you come out on the field three and out, passing the ball all over the place, and you get your butt kicked? I'm sick of them.
I got to tell you, Tom, a few weeks ago, we were talking to Nick Sirianni, and he was telling us about his dad and how the most negative feedback he gets after game is from his dad, who is a very good football coach in his own right.
Yeah.
And then the next week, I asked him what his dad said, and I don't think he liked that I asked that. But now, the last 2 weeks, they've been so awful, Tom. Would you love to know what his father, the football coach, is saying to his son?
His father ought to be using him as a football and kicking him around the house.
I'll be honest with you. Based on what I saw Sunday, I'd send Nick to his room.
Oh.
Straight to his room. Yes.
I go, Nick, I cannot have – if that's your game plan, go to your room and rework it up. It's not good. And you know what? Take your friend Shane with you. Go up in there.
Take your friend Shane.
That was absolutely awful.
It was awful, Tom. They had so much to play for. The Saints had nothing to play for. and the Saints were crazed to win the game, and the Eagles didn't show up.
What do you think the Giants are going to do? What do they have to play for? But you know what?
That's
they remember last year when they got screwed by the Eagles.
It's a couple of years ago, and it was a different coaching staff. But I got to believe they would love nothing more than to send the Eagles down to the 5 seed. They would love it. The Eagles better come out Sunday, and they better be ready to play a friggin' football game. Because if they win the toss and defer, and the Giants take 8 or 9 minutes to get down the field and score 7 points, you are all in panic mode. I want you to know that. That's how close we are to panic mode, Tommy.
Yeah, I kept telling you when you kept telling me 13-1, 13-1, and I kept telling you I was worried about this team and the coaches.
Tom, you know what? I need you, Tom, I need you at the game. Give me a really dumb question you could ask Nick Sirianni if you were interviewing him today.
I would ask him, when's he going to grow up and be a real NFL coach?
When are you going to be a real coach, Mr. 13-3?
Yeah, I think that one's probably not going to win.
Yeah, I hope there's
dumb
a couple
question.
Of good ones in here because there have been a lot of bad ones. Glenn's up from Center City. Hi, oh, Glenn, hold on. I'm up against a break here. Glenn will be first. I got Will of God coming up. Kevin, now, you guys get your questions ready because I want to get as many in before Rhea decides who's going to the game on Sunday. 215-592-9494. But when we come back, even though I've looked at those pictures, I must take some joy in only one thing that happened in football this weekend. It was the end of the career of Carson Wentz. WIP Sports Time is 9:37. You know, it is the beginning of a brand new year now, and everybody makes resolutions, not just for themselves, but for their beloved pets. Look at that little pet. Is the fur looking a little straggly, maybe flaky skin, itchy coat, maybe a little overweight for the holidays? At Dogs and Cats Rule, their stores, all 7 of them, you can help plan out a healthy year for your pet. They already got the largest selection of premium raw, freeze-dried, gently cooked, dehydrated, and traditional kibble and cans. You'll get the best food. Then they'll show you a line of supplements to help with digestive, skin and coat, calming, and hip and joint issues. They're all going to make a better quality of life for that pet. Winners here, Dogs and Cats Rule, have special pricing on coats, sweaters, and fleece. And you can check out their collection of officially licensed Eagle bandanas, jerseys, beds, toys, and more. A trip to Dogs and Cats Rule is spectacular. Take your dog with you. It's Dogs and Cats Rule, 7 locations in Jersey, Pennington and Princeton, MPA, Newtown, Doylestown, New Hope, Maple Glen, and Bluebell. Dogs and Cats Rule, shop small, shop local, shop family. All right, welcome back. Look, it was an awful weekend. It has been. My Christmas was ruined by the Eagles' loss.
Yep.
My New Year's was ruined by even my I had my 23rd anniversary.
Oh, nice. Happy
anniversary. 23
Happy anniversary.
Years I've been married to that beautiful
that's
woman.
That's beautiful.
And the day ruined that, too. It ruined
yes,
everything.
That's what happens.
Because if my team's losing, I'm in a miserable mood.
Correct.
So
what
now,
makes that different from any other day?
There is only one thing that brought me significant joy this weekend. While I was enduring that horrific Eagles game, every once in a while I would switch over during a break to see the Red Zone channel and to see how our old friend Carson Wentz was doing now that he has retained the job as the starting quarterback of the Washington Commanders. And it was not pretty. In fact, it was as big a train wreck as you could ever imagine. He dialed up 3 interceptions.
This is wonderful.
They ended up with 10 points, and then you're not going to believe this. Afterwards, Johnson.
What do you do?
He just said he has to do better. Listen to this.
It's part of football. I get it. You know, I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot in my 7 years, and I experienced a lot, and I get it. I didn't have my best day today, and I wish it would have went differently. I feel like I, you know, let some of my teammates down there early in the game and put us in the hole a little bit. But yeah, that's part of football.
He has been demoted so much.
Yeah.
During his news conference, they did not even put the mic near him. And I need you to picture this. It started right near him. and then it was moving further and further away as he spoke. Because he's probably not going to start this Sunday. Their coach, Ron Rivera, did not even realize that a loss would eliminate them. The media told him. The media told the coach, you're out of the playoffs. He didn't even know. Meanwhile, I got this poll. This is beautiful.
Yeah, what is it? What do we got?
This is a poll of the top people from the Commanders fan base.
Yeah.
They have like their fan
the big fan club. Yeah.
And they asked who should start the final game of the season against the Cowboys. With 73%, the top choice of the fans is Sam Howell.
Sam
Thurston Howell the third?
He has a career like third stringer, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. With 24% of the votes is Taylor Heinicke.
Good choice.
And with 3% of the votes is Carson Wentz.
Complete
of
loser.
Of 1,580 votes cast, he got 50. And in the game, early in the game, after the first pick, he's in Washington. They got to win the game. Listen to the crowd.
Oh, man. That's great, isn't it?
Now,
and Heinicke stinks.
He tries hard, though. Heinicke tries. That's the difference.
Next week.
Wentz just quits.
He seems likable, too.
Yeah.
He's not very
we
good.
Want Howell. We won.
Did you hear Wentz in his little thing there that we could barely hear? He said, in my 7 years of experience.
Like, do you feel bad for him now?
No. I'm going to tell you something. I have witnessed many different of these type of stories. It's somebody that was good for a brief period of time and then flamed out. And I know the story. The minute he got that first check at $130 million, he was done. You understand?
Yep.
He is the ultimate example of how do I get the money and then can I do whatever I want? And that's what he's doing. He doesn't even feel sadness anymore. He doesn't feel embarrassed. He's already done that. He flamed out here. He flamed out in Indy. Now he's blown it twice in Washington.
His ego was always massive for a guy who came from where Edge, he was unhappy they won the Super Bowl without him.
He's got enough buckshot now to kill some deer Idaho. Where is that?
North Dakota.
He's got buckshot. He's got money. He's got cute little kids. He's living large.
Is he on a roster next year?
No. He's done. You don't understand.
You think this is it?
Who wants another shot at that? Now Washington's got to pay all the money the Eagles promised him. They got Washington to take the money.
No, they're stuck.
Dan Snyder said he wanted Carson. How's it going over there, Daniel?
My God, I'm looking at it.
He's moving to England, by
the way. He still has 2 more years. $41
million. $41 million of nothing. Nobody. He's flamed out 4 times in 3 years. He's done. No, I should not take delight in that. But I do. Let's go to Glenn in Center City. Hi, Glenn.
Happy New Year to you guys. Happy New Year. Let me say something. Just prayers out to my man, DeMar Hamlin.
Yep.
That was really crazy last night to see that. And those players ought to be commended because they knew something was wrong. They got the medics out there at ASAP.
Yeah, Glenn, 100%. I'm just wondering how long before they have to play that game. And how, in what mental condition are those players to resume playing? It's a really hard thing.
The second question is pretty critical.
That's the real one, Glenn. You don't want to go back. They're not playing after that man nearly dies in front of their eyes. Are they ready the next day? Are they ready in 2 days, 3 days? When do you play the game?
Yeah, because the NFL, they almost screwed up. They said we have a 5-minute delay.
Yeah.
And then they realized how bad the injury was. They said, we're just going to postpone the game.
Glenn, that is the fascinating thing. Their first instinct was to continue the game.
They claim they have no idea where that came from.
No, of course. No, it came from somewhere. Nobody made it up.
No, but all I'm saying is that they knew they had to contact the Players Association. There was There was no way they were going to do that.
The right decision absolutely was made.
Oh, absolutely.
But now I have no idea how they work this out. It'll be fascinating to see what they do. And hopefully Hamler will be okay now and he'll recover and he'll be okay to resume his career at some point. But they got a lot of logistic things to deal with. All right, Glenn, give me a stupid question the media could ask Nick today.
Our ex, Nick Sirianni, can you make Howie Roseman your offensive coordinator?
Okay, not terrible. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, give me a dumb question.
Sure. Hey, Nick, what color is the sky?
What color is the sky? Put it down. That's a good one. Al is next. Hi, Al.
How you doing?
Give me a dumb question.
Where'd you get your coaching degree?
Where'd you get your coaching degree? Mm. That's bitter.
That's a zing. Very dumb.
Kim's up next. Hi, Kimmy.
Hey, good morning.
Are you unhappy, Kim?
I was able to cope with it because my mother is a very reasonable woman. She talked us through the whole game.
Wow.
And so we were able to salvage Sunday.
Okay, so your mom has better perspective than most of us, and she was able to rationalize it.
My mom has better coaching ideas than what you saw Sunday.
All right, Kim, give me a dumb question for Nick.
Did you leave your EpiPen at home because you're allergic to the run?
Oh,
wow, she went
man.
EpiPen.
Oh, that is clever. Dave is on the line. Hi, Dave.
Hey.
What is your question for the media?
How's your day, Nick?
How's your day, Nick?
No.
Darnell is on the line. Darnell, what's your question?
Yeah, Nick, I understand that you didn't eat the same thing for the team breakfast. Listen, do you think that has something to do with the game, the outcome of the game?
Darnell, I love your delivery. I don't like your material. Let's go to T next. I would have loved having that guy say something. He had a nice voice. Lee, T, you're up next.
Which one of your brilliant brothers gave you that offensive game plan?
Oh, T.
Nasty.
Wow.
T, that's strong.
Nasty.
He's ripping the brother. Steve is up from Lincoln. You get last crack, Steven. Steve, are you there?
Yes.
What's the question, Steve? This is going to be good. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, my question is, what was your option other than Minshew?
I knew it would be really clever. Ooh. All right, Rhea, are you ready? You need a minute
this is
here.
Tough.
Hold on.
I will just tell you a minute. The two that I choices I had, T.
All right,
and
not
somebody
yet.
Else.
You're not yet.
No,
you
I'm not
think
telling
it over because I have something to play here. Howie Roseman has obtained some very worrisome voicemails, and why don't we all listen?
Hey, it's Howie Roseman, 100%, man. Leave a message.
Yo, Howie, why don't you tell Kelsey to wait till after New Year's to do his drunk mummer's impression, okay?
Hey, little buddy, it's Andy. Tough loss there on Sunday. Boy, it'd really be a crime if you guys blew the season after going 13-1, but I only say that because I love crime and criminals. By the way, tell Minshew if he wants a good mustache, I can draw one on him. Ha!
Yep, yep. Hey, Howie, it's Chip. Great game plan with Minshew. Now the rest of the league is about to find out what I already knew, that you're clueless and overmatched. I kept my wife secret, but you can't keep your competence a secret any longer, so...
Hi, Howie, it's Merle. We have to go golfing again. After doing that game Sunday, it's apparent you've been playing with your putter, and I want to see if your short game has improved. Call me.
Howie, it's Doc Rivers. Relax. Tell your guys that Sunday was just a scheduled loss. You're going to be in the Super Bowl. It's a guarantee. You're a treasure, and I'm doing a terrific job. I've earned that.
Hey, Howie, it's Chip again. Great job moving all the way up in the draft to get Carson Wentz. You really did your homework there. Great pick. Ruined three franchises. So this time next year, he'll be shoveling cow manure in North Dakota, so...
Hello, Howie. It's Detective Brown, Laura Murray. I just want to let you know what your team played like on Sunday. I'll give you a full report. Call me back. I'll be here till 1:30.
Howie? Okay. You don't know me, okay? I'm watching, and I'm disappointed. In fact, I'm disconsolate, okay? Okay? Watching you on Sunday, and I'm looking, and it made me gassy, okay? I'm not afraid to say that. Not afraid. And Ava, Shaka, crunch!
Howie, it's Chip again. By the way, I saw your boy Wentz scored a touchdown. I spiked the ball. It was the best pass he threw all day, so.
See Joe Cochran's comedy show with Vince Valentine and Norm Klar. Our Lady of Good Counsel on Saturday, January 21st. For tickets, go to joecocker.com. Rhea, who's our winner?
I'm going to make a very quick call here. I'm going heads or tails because I love them both. I love tease on which brother, but Jordan had a left-handed Jalen Hurts throwing would be better.
And who wins?
T is heads, Jordan is tails. We got Jordan.
Jordan won. Yes. That was the one with
left-handed.
Why don't you try going left-handed, Gardner? I'm sorry, Jalen Hurts. All right. It's time to deliver.
All right. Got to a lot of things on today's show. The scary situation last night in Cincinnati with Bills safety DeMar Hamlin. The Eagles lost to New Orleans. And the demise of Carson Wentz again. But our line of the day, a review of Gardner Minshew's performance, courtesy of Jason from the Dirty 30. And it's brought to you by the Regency Furniture. Affordable never looks so good.
Gordon, he should be a different number. He's not wearing the correct number. He should be number 2.
He's on a roll this year.
Jason's material has gotten much better.
It's peaking too soon.
The final read on our Twitter questions brought to you by Armin Chevrolet of Ardmore. It's Chevy Equinox Month. January means huge savings on every Armin Chevrolet Equinox. Find new roads at ArminChevy.com. How worried are you about the Eagles' back-to-back losses? 23% not at all, 34% say very, 43% so-so.
Heads in the sand, yep. You should be concerned. Our studio assistant today was Dan Wilson. Special contributions, Joe Cochran. For tickets, go to joecochran.com. Associate producer Kyle Quinn in studio, Keith Jones, consultant Sydney Webster, sit-ins Brian McCloskey and Jake LaPergola. It's producer Joseph A. Wechter, Jr., Jonah Camber, John Ritchie coming up next. How did we do tonight?